Welcome to the Abiloute Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Second Corinthians chapter 5. Now, before we take off in this message, this is my last message, and I promise I won't sneak another one in. I promise this is my last one on reconciliation. But this is going to be kind of the cap to the message here on reconciliation. I believe that we can get this, that you and I can truly have the motivation to press our relationships forward and move them forward. But we really have to have this peace for all of the reconciliation process to really work, I'm convinced. And so I want to encourage you that today, that you really allow this message to sink deep into your heart and God to challenge you on a very personal level about what do you see? And that's the question I want you to think about right now. What do you see? What do you see? And we can go with our slides here. What do you see? Right? So let's do the next one. You see a mustard seed. What is that? What do you see? You can say it out loud. What kind of woman? A young girl? Does anybody see an old lady? You see the old lady? She's looking sideways. Right? There's an old lady. She's looking this way. And then the necklace of the young woman is her mouth. She's got a wart on her nose. She's looking this way. Come on now. You see it. There's an old lady and there's a young woman. That's crazy. What do you see? Come on. Okay. So who sees the young lady? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. All right. Does anybody see the old lady too? You can see the old lady. Okay. Great. Let's go to the next slide. What do you see? An old lady and an old man. Does anybody see the Mexican guys in the middle way in there? Yeah. Right? And then there's a lady in the ear hole over there. Do you see the vase in the middle? What do you see? Perspective changes everything. Sometimes there's more than one story in one picture, isn't there? So what do you see now? What's this next one? Look at this. I'll help you out. It's a slab of marble. Okay. Giant slab of marble. Okay, so what do you see? Marble. What do you think this guy saw? Michelangelo. What did he see? David.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. I live but to serve. Yeah, no, some things you can't unsee, right? Let's go back to the marble. You know, I love the song we were singing earlier today. Your love never fails. It never gives up on me, right? What an awesome God. Come on, what an awesome God. Your love never fails. Man, the way God sees us, when we're just this, the way he sees us, isn't it so beautiful that God doesn't see us through the lens of our most broken mistake? He doesn't see us like the slab of marble with all the sin and all the brokenness. He doesn't. Isn't that awesome? Do you know you and I, we probably struggle most with looking at our entire life through the lens of our worst mistake? Isn't that sad to think about? Isn't that sad to think about that we kind of view our life and sort of through this lens of kind of how we screwed it up the most, don't we? And how it's like, or maybe the worst trauma that's ever happened to us, the person that's hurt us the most. We see our life sometimes like this rather than like the David. And if you could go to that photo, that'd be great. rather than what it could become or what God, the masterpiece inside that God really made you for. Isn't it beautiful that His love never fails to pursue you like this and to see you like this? And how much would it change our relationships in the context of reconciliation if we could see one another on the inside the way God sees us? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. The Apostle Paul and his team, obviously, he's saying, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. Wow. Wow. So we collectively, all of a sudden, we just came to a realization, we're just done evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. Think about how crazy that is. We thought of Christ from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. Because Jesus was not just human, was He? But He was fully God living in a human veil, right? We had to look through the natural to see the truly special thing that Jesus really was. And many people could not see it because they looked at His human form. And if we could struggle seeing Christ this way, how much more difficult is it for us to see one another through a different point of view? This means that anyone who belongs to Christ, who belongs to Christ, let's clarify, not who's done well enough in Christ, who's never sinned in Christ, who's done good enough exploits or preaches the gospel in Christ or whatever. No, you belong to Christ has become a new person. That's so sweet. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. I want to read this to you in the Amplified version of the Bible. It does a really great job here. Back to verse 16. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. No. Even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of Him that we know Him no longer in terms of the flesh. Therefore, if any person is engrafted into Christ. Isn't that a beautiful word? The Messiah. He is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, a fresh and new one has come. Man, come on. Come on. If we could look at people through this lens, if we could even give ourselves a get out of jail free card here and look at ourselves through this lens of hope, through this lens of destiny, through this lens of God's mercy and love, never gives up on us. He's constantly looking at us through this lens that we belong to Jesus. And if we belong, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, right? There's something alive inside of us at work, transforming and drawing us and chiseling away these old pieces that aren't supposed to be there, those chunks of marble, carving us into that masterpiece. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. There's just nothing like it. There's nothing like the power of Your Holy Spirit at work inside of our lives, God. And we're just asking for a fresh revelation today. God, renew our minds from the Spirit inside of us, God, that You would renew our minds to help see others and see ourselves, God, from a perspective, God, that really truly comes from heaven. It's just from You. We don't want to see from a humanly point of view anymore. We want to see from a kingdom perspective. God, do this in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this thing how in the Amplified it says in terms of natural standards of value. We don't look at people from a human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. What through our natural standards we deem something valuable, right? Gold. Lots of it. Rich, right? Okay, it's that simple. Success. What is success? How do we measure that? Well, I have a lot of money. I take care of people. I have a great title, a great position. You know, I'm famous. I can throw a football a mile on a dime, whatever. That to us, for some reason, is success. We don't look at people through a natural standard of value anymore. Not by the human values that we've created that we say are valuable or not. No, we have to look deeper. We have to look inside through the veil of the natural body and look inside of what God made. Look, each one of us has so many limitations in our own natural body and the substance of who we are. From the organ of our mind, right? That can be damaged and traumatized. You with me? Through real life. Something smashing our head or breaking our arm or trauma that happens as we grow up in these, you know, hypercritical, you know, families or whatever. That shapes you. That shapes me. That's part of our natural veil. That's part of our flesh that we have to struggle through. But we have this beautiful thing alive inside of us that Romans says, right, that's warring and struggling with that. But it's the power of God living in us, and it's the thing God destined for heaven and for eternity. It's the thing he redeemed, and it's your soul. It's who you are. It's your spirit man. And that's what God is looking at, because he knows in the end, right? He knows what's going to happen in the end, and he trusts himself to complete the work he started, and so he's okay with you working it out in the process. Isn't that great? And he just keeps loving you because he knows himself. And he knows how good he is. And even when you and I are unfaithful, Romans says, even if I'm unfaithful, does that make God unfaithful? No. God is ever faithful. So God is always faithful, even when I'm unfaithful. That's a good God. I'm glad he doesn't go on my faithfulness. As faithful as I am to him, he's faithful to me. I'd be toast. I don't know about you. Right? And we have this God that just looks at us on the inside of who he made us to be all the time. And he sees us with that lens, and it's so beautiful. And sometimes we've got to learn to trust the Lord in our life and trust that when, like the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 1:6, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Wow. The Apostle Paul has this really cool perspective of people, doesn't he? He's able to go into these relationships and have all these people that are messed up, and he has this faith and hope that when they get saved, that not only the Holy Spirit can redeem them, like when he teaches us in 2 Corinthians 5, we're learning last week about that we're ambassadors of reconciliation. We're called as ambassadors of reconciliation, and that we can have hope in a person that when they belong to Christ, all of a sudden they're a new creation and can change. And we're going to see in perfection what God destined that to be when we get into heaven. But he has this mindset, this perspective. He wears this lens, not through the person's worst mistake, but he wears a lens of the destiny that God destined within them. That's a great lens to wear. That's a great lens to wear. So I stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. So my question is this, and as we launch into this message, and just thinking just very practically about how do you see others? How do you see others? What do you see when you look at other people? Do you view them from a human point of view or from a heavenly point of view, from a Christ-centered point of view? It's simple. You don't got to raise your hand. Just be willing to look into your own heart, because this is a key to having healthy relationships around you. It's a key. It's an absolute key to unlock you and unlock relationships around you. It's awesome. If you and I can get this, we can help do what this 2 Corinthians 5 passage talks about, become ambassadors or cultivators of reconciliation. You can farm reconciliation if you believe that God is at work inside of people. And he's going to finish that work. And you get to be a part of helping bring unity back in the body of Christ and help them move along in their relationship with the Lord as he's moving you along in yours. Now, I don't know about you, but where I struggle the most in this in my life, sorry, I'm kicking a cold here. Where I struggle the most in my life and is when I get hurt. So I'm kind of a Pollyanna. Love the movie Pollyanna. Pollyanna are like this, man. And the way I see life is like Pollyanna. It's like everything's going to be good. It's always going to work out. Things are great. I fall off the porch. Whatever. It's going to work out, you know. Until I get hurt. Right? And that changes everything for me. So I don't know how you are, but when I like turn around and I'm like, you too, Brutus. And I'm like trying to get the knife out of my back, you know. I don't know if it's your Benedict Arnold, your Brutus, your Lucifer, whatever. I start to take off my Pollyanna glasses and I put on my Brutus glasses. Let's be honest here. Like, I'm like, you're Benedict Arnold now, you know? And that's hard for me to now keep a perspective. Die eight. I'm not sure how I'm working that in. But it's hard for me to keep this perspective, this kingdom perspective, when I get really hurt. It's just the way it is. You know, honesty is going to really help you in your walk with Jesus, okay? Because if you don't know where you're really messed up, then you're never going to have an opportunity to fix it, right? If I have my hair is really out of place, or I have a booger in my nose or something, I want you to tell me. Big piece of kale hanging in my tooth. Where are we going? If I look like a hillbilly when I'm supposed to look nice, please tell me. Like, just come pick it out for me. You have liberty to do that. Maybe hand sanitizer before you reach into my mouth would be nice, but right? Look, even if it hurts, do you want to know? Even if it hurts, do you want to know? Man, taking your honest self to a loving God who never gives up, who never looks at you through the wrong lens. He always sees what he made, not what you did. He sees what he made, not what you did. You got to know that. And take who he made to him. Take that part of you to him. God, I know you made me. And God, I want to take this to you. And I need you with all this stuff. The veil of my natural life needs help. And I need you. And I'm having a hard time seeing other people right now through your kingdom lens. And I'm seeing them through my hurt and through the way they damage me. Or I'm seeing the whole situation through my own shame or my own mistake. Oh, man, God, will you help me to take this lens off? So if you're struggling with forgiveness, my encouragement to you is to get this whole series that I'm preaching on reconciliation. I started with forgiveness. Forgiveness will set you free. You don't need someone else to repent for you to forgive. And you can get free. I taught some good principles in there, and I encourage you to grab that message and learn how to forgive, to set yourself free. The next message I preached was about making it right, which is about repentance. It really helps when people repent, doesn't it? Yeah. It really helps a lot. It helps unlock you. You know, it's amazing how you can forgive somebody and you're like walking in freedom and it's good. But then something else reminds you that and you pick the whole thing back up and you're like holding your sign again. You're like, ah, I'm bitter at the world. Right? Come on. It really helps when someone repents, because then you can lay that sign down. You go, I'm not tempted to pick it back up again. And it really helps to walk in forgiveness from that place. So reconciliation is absolutely crucial to healthy churches. How we see one another is crucial. It's absolutely paramount for us to be motivated to move into these relationships. Because guess what? Like I said before, you're a farmer, a cultivator of reconciliation. And last week I was talking about take some strategic ground. You can't win the whole game all in with one throw on a football field, right? You got to take little bits of strategic ground all the time. Military campaigns were not won with one move. It's lots of small strategic steps. Take the ground you can take and just make sure you're taking ground in your relationships, right? It's crucial. But if you and I are going to be in for the long haul on that fight towards reconciliation to farm it out and cultivate it, we've got to have a heavenly perspective on how we see people. To get us through. God, you're doing a work inside of them. God, you're doing a work in my wife. You're doing a work in my husband, right? Not that I have both. Just saying, if I was a woman or I was a man. It's getting in your shoes. So, right, you need to follow me. What? God, help me with my kids. Like, how do I stick this one out? My kids in junior high. Lord Jesus. God from heaven. Please, God, help me now. Amen. I don't know what else to say, but God help. Okay, God help. Amen. Come on, Lord. Let's have an intercession for all the parents who have junior hires right now. Praise God. God made that kid as a masterpiece. And all that you're ever struggling, it's hard to see it. And they're tweaking you and hurting your heart, mamas, right? They'll come say stuff to you that damages you and hurts your heart. Makes you lonely and like, of all the things I poured out for you, and you come, you talk to me like this. I brought you into this world, I can take you out. Right? You think all these things, you're like, I can't say that out loud. I don't know what to say, go to your room. In the name of Jesus, I still believe in you, son, God bless you. You know? Man, yeah, it's time to be alone, everybody. It's hard. We need this motivation going on in our life all the time. God, help me to see what you see. Lord, this kid has a treasure inside of them. There's something special in there. This is a world changer for you. God, give me the faith to see him the way you see him. Even though what I see is a slab of marble. It's really hard for me. And you know what? You're going to have broken relationships with your kids at times and your spouses. But man, if we can see and trust that God is at work doing something special inside of each one of our relationships, man, that gets us motivated. That keeps us focused. That keeps us in the game. If we don't have that faith picture, we can give up. That's tough, isn't it? It's hard when people give up on relationships, especially in the kingdom. That really, really hurts us. And I've said it before in this series that it really diffuses the effectiveness of our unity, of our collective power together. When families are broken up or when our relationships are broken up, people leave churches. That's hard. That's hard. When you leave a space. I promise you. You leave a hole because you matter. And you have potential. There's a destiny. There's something great that's going to peek through that veil. And we want to be a part of it. People around you want to be a part of it. It's amazing how they saw Jesus that way, isn't it? How they even saw Jesus as a natural man and had the hardest time seeing into what God was really doing in him. And how crazy is it that God came and lived in an earthly temple? He lived in a real body. And equally how amazing it is that you and I live in an earthly temple. just like Jesus. Same. He truly came to live the same way we did. Fully God, inside. And look at inside of a human temple. We're fully man, human, right? With God living in us. The same. God's living inside again of a human temple. It's crazy. And it's really hard. Just like it was for them to see Jesus as God or God working in him, right? It's hard for people sometimes for us to see one another as God working in us, but it's true. And it's true. And there will be a resurrection. And there will be new life. And truly now, you are that new creation. And man, what a great hope. What a great hope to have. I think of the Apostle Paul when I'm talking about this message. And when he was Saul of Tarsus, going around, Pharisee to the max, super religious, super passionate, really destructive to the kingdom. Really destructive. Going around, grabbing husbands and wives, dragging them out the street, beating them, stoning them, sending them off to prison, killing some of them. Scary, bad guy. Did this for a long time, by the way. This was a long enough period of time where he scared the socks off of every single believer knew who he was, right? He was notorious anti-Christian. And all of a sudden, can you imagine the Apostle Paul or Saul of Tarsus? Like, one day, he's in a town, dragging people around, beating them up. He has an encounter with God on this road, and nobody's around. And he ends up in this town, and everybody knows he's there. Because they know when that dude was around. Because they're thinking, everybody, watch out. He's going to come drag you out in the street. And then all of a sudden, he shows up to your meeting. Praise to Jesus. You think people have a hard time? And even Paul said this. He said, people had a really hard time trusting that I was a new creation. That I was different. There was something new in me. And nobody wanted to work with him or partner with him. But Barnabas saw something in the Apostle Paul. And he was willing to take a risk and say, well, you might kill me and drag me off. This might be a big setup. But I think I see that new life inside of you. Even you are the worst person I ever knew. I see something in you, and I think I'm going to partner with you to build the kingdom. That was the Apostle Paul. So when Paul says, I stopped viewing people this way, it means something. He knew exactly what it felt like to be judged by your old man and the old things that you had done, and people to see him through that lens of that, all the old things that he had done. But Paul knew there was something alive inside of him. You know there's something alive inside of you if you belong to Jesus. And you know you can change. You know there's something great you're made for. You do, just like I do. And man, don't you just hope that somebody else would see that too? Don't you just wish somebody else would see it too and have some faith in you and trust that you could work through your issues and would partner with you and come alongside you like Barnabas and say, hey, I'm willing to work with you. I want to see that thing in you come out. Even though you did drag people around and murder them. I know that. That's true. You made some mistakes. You have an earthly, fleshly temple you're living in. God's doing something great in you. And I'm willing to look at you through a new lens, not that old lens, because you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things are gone. This new thing, that's what I'm partnering with. That's what I want to be a part of right there. Here's some principles I want you guys to walk away with and maybe for all of us just to think about. Is first this, see people as a new creation, right? See people first as a new creation. When you engage in relationships and you're thinking about, I've got some broken relationships or maybe you have some pre-broken relationships, huh? You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. Try to keep that lens to see them the way God sees them that new creation, hope, trust. Come on. Hope and trust that God is who he says he is. That he is the master. He knows exactly what he's doing. Can you trust God? Trust God, right? That's my next slide. Trust God. You and I need to learn to trust that God is going to finish the work he starts in each one of us as a believer. Here's my next point. I want you to remember that your personal growth is half of the equation in the process of reconciliation. Let's think about this for a minute. We're going to camp out here for a second. Your personal growth is half of the equation. If you keep growing, guess what? The relationships around you are all going to start to get better. I promise. You're going to have less broken relationships. You're going to find more reconciliation if you trust in the thing God's doing in you. You want to see your relationships with your kids get better? Grow. Your children are the most pure reflection of your own dysfunctions on the planet. The more you have, the more exponential the reflections get. Till they reflect everything all the way around. And there's stuff from the backside a lot of us don't want to see. Right? Come on now. It's all like, hey, I like that angle right there. That looks pretty good. Then you turn around, you're all like, boop, boop. Don't want to see that. We don't do double mirrors in our bedrooms for a reason, right? Where you like can really get a good look at like the bald spots. And you're like, hey, I look pretty good from right here, don't I? Just look right there. Each one of us, we don't really want to see us in the mirror. Who likes to wake up real early in the morning and turn the light on and look in the mirror? Boo. Especially every year that passes, you're like, from boo to ew. Right? Every kid you have will reflect you and the dysfunction in you. And when your kid's having a problem, guess what? You're having a problem. And the problem that is the gift is that you're having a problem that you can see. You're like, something's wrong with me. Rather than to look in the window of life, you're going to look out the window when you have a problem and find there's something out there, there's something wrong. It's you, it's you, it's you. One of my own kids right there. Versus, you know what, God, I'm gonna truly walk in humility and I'm going to look in the mirror instead, okay? I'm going to, when there's problems around me, I'm first going to look, God, what did I do? What is wrong and broken in me that I need to own and look at and see that needs to grow? Then you start growing. Guess what? Your kids start behaving better. Miracles do happen. It's true. I dare you to try it. Your spouses, they behave better too. My wife behaves so much better when I grow spiritually. It's amazing. It's amazing how much more self-control and better behavior she has when I'm not being a total knucklehead. Hello. It's not rocket science. Half the equation in reconciliation and right relationships is you. If you want to have healthy relationships, believe in the destiny God made inside of you and fan a flame to that. Cultivate that. You know? That'd be a great shirt. Cultivate that. Cultivate that. We were onto something. A little marketing plan. Take it. Run with it. Go with it. Go. Man, if all of us, imagine this, took a responsibility of our half of the equation, then when we got in relationship with somebody else that's taking the other half of the equation, oh my goodness, there'd be reconciliation because we're all willing to own our stuff and keep growing, right? At least with us, as a church, we can make a commitment. We're going to do our half. And then if we bump into somebody else who's already doing their half, we have a hole. I'm a math genius. I know you're thinking it. You can say it out loud. Josh is a math genius. Two halves make a whole. Wow. Say something. Risk. Take a risk, man. Take a risk. I say this a lot. Love big. It hurts big, but you got to love big. It hurts big. And I've been hurt big because I love big. And you know what I'm committed to do? Keep loving big. Because it's worth it. See, it's real life. But you've got to take some risks in your relationships that are stuck right now. If you want to see reconciliation, you need to take some ground. What ground can you take? Be wise about that. Ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. But take some ground. Take a risk. Do something, right? Next. Don't let people get frozen in time. Like the Apostle Paul, a lot of people froze him in time. He's the bad guy that, you know, beats up Christians. Usually we get people stuck where they harmed us last, don't we? That's not really fair. And in fact, if we really trust that God's at work, it's not even really probably possible that they could, if Holy Spirit's living in them, how could they ever be in the same place after even a few weeks? God's doing something in there. God's working on them, man. Even from the outside, if it doesn't seem like it, I promise, God has gigantic tools. Have you ever like hammered on concrete before? And you're hammering away, bink, bink, and then it's like going nowhere. Then what do? You get a bigger hammer. Boom, boom, and you're like, I'm so tired. And then you get a jackhammer. If that jackhammer's not big enough, you get a big one that hooks onto an excavator. And if that doesn't work, you smash it with a wrecking ball or fill it with dynamite and light it on fire. Boom, and blow it up. God has all those tools. And he uses them. Little by little, he starts with a little feather and tickles you. And you don't laugh. And then he gets a chisel. Ding, 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 and he gets a ball peen hammer. Bing, bing, bing. And a bigger hammer and a bigger one and a bigger one. And then finally he's all like, guess what? I always win. Boom! Yeah! He wants you to break. He does. Because then you need him. And you change and grow. So listen, God's at work inside of everybody. Submit to the process. That's my pastoral help tip for you. Submit to the process. Enjoy the challenge. Get in it. Love it. This is good. Lord, use your feathers on me because I don't want the hammer. Just tickle me, Lord, and I'll do it. Just tickle me and I'll do whatever you want. Right? It's a good word right there. We got to buy into this process. To not allow people to get frozen in time and allow us to keep growing and trust that God is the God of change. And he has the wrecking ball of righteousness. And he'll wreck you. And you'll grow. And he'll wreck others and they'll grow. So don't let people get frozen in time. Believe that even if on the outside they're behaving the same way, something's happening on the inside because God's that good. God is that good. So don't let people get frozen in time. Trust that God is moving them forward and that you can keep loving them and believing in that process and the masterpiece in them. Don't let your heart become like a judging Pharisee. In Luke 18:9, Jesus told this story to some that had great confidence in their own righteousness. I don't know if any of y'all have that card in your card carrier. Confident in my own righteousness card got in there. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and he prayed this prayer. Thank you, God, that I'm not like the sinners and everyone else. For I don't cheat or sin or commit adultery. And I am certainly not like this tax collector over here. Thank you, Lord, for providing that great example for me during my prayer. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. But that tax collector right over there, he's terrible. But the tax collector stood at a distance, and he dared not even to lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Don't think you're right just because you feel like you're right. You know in part, see in part. You can't know it all, right? Don't think you're right. Because even Paul said, even though I feel good in my own conscience, doesn't mean that I'm right. Right? He knew this. You and I can maintain a heart of humility in the midst of all of our relationships, and I promise it's going to help. My last point here, after stay humble, is pray. Pray. Oh my goodness, really? Does it come to that? Yes. You and I need the source. We need to tap into the source, don't we? Which is God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to tap into the Holy Spirit at work in us and at work in others, in our situations. You know what prayers that God is always going to answer? God, change me. God is always at work changing people, isn't he? And he always wants to work to change people's lives. And sometimes we're like, God, do I have enough faith for this or that? Or I want this or I want that. And we're confused about, am I praying according to God's will? Listen, if you always want to pray according to God's will, pray that God moves in your heart and changes you to be more like Jesus. He's always going to answer that prayer. And pray that God moves in another person's heart, that they will become more like Christ, and that God's favor and his blessing will pour out on them and move in their life to help them become and fulfill that new creation masterpiece that God made in them. Man, come on, can we do that? That's the kind of lifestyle we need to really see success in all of our relationships. God can make us ambassadors of reconciliation. He can create a massive, mighty movement of reconciliation through our lives. It can happen. I have faith for it. I believe we can be a church with no broken relationships. Why not? Is God living in us or not? And I got faith for it to you. And are you willing to pay the cost to see it happen? It's a personal tax that you will pay in your own pride to see reconciliation. It's going to happen. You're going to pay a penalty tax. You know, it's going to be hard, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Amen. Will you stand with me? Let's pray. Father God, let me see others. Let's pray. Come on, Father God, let me see others the way you see them. He asked God to do that in your life. Holy Spirit, we need you. It's just about you changing us, working in us. Help me to see others the way you see them. God, give me hope for others that they will grow in you. And God, give me the faith to trust you that you're going to complete that work, Father God. Give me the patience to love them through their sin, to love them through their mistakes, to love them, God, through their struggle. Help me not to be a source of shame in their struggle, but a source of life in their struggle, Father God. And right now, I'm just believing. Mom, will you pray with me? Join your faith with me. We're going to believe for reconciliation. God, I'm believing for reconciliation in this church, throughout this whole church. And God, especially between marriages that maybe are distant in their hearts, broken trust. Father, I'm praying you'll repair trust. God, that you will bring reconciliation, forgiveness, repentance, humility, personal growth in our marriages, God. God, will you reconcile fathers to children and mothers to children? God, will you bring reconciliation in our families, God? Forgiveness. Help us to see past our kids' shenanigans, God, and into the heart of who you made them, God. What you made them for. Who you made them to be. God, pour out a blessing so great and so mighty in each one of our lives, God. So full of your love, God. So full of compassion and wisdom in our families and in our relationships, God. Let your wisdom, God, pour out on us in abundance. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to leave you with this. As you think about how you see others, and you say, God, this week, help me to see the way you see. You pray that, write it on the front of your dashboard, permanent marker. God, help me to see the way you see, right? I'm going to leave you with this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You can do it. You can do it. There's nothing that can stop you. God always wins. He's going to win in you. He's going to win in your friends. He's going to win in your spouses. He's going to win. He's going to win. Let him win. Believe that God's going to win in you. And know you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we'd love to pray with you today. I invite you to come. Make your way. You got to be courageous and bold around here. We want you to come to know him. We want to pray with you. If you have prayer needs, please find someone here to pray with you. We're a real family, right? Anybody can pray with you. Find someone you know and care about. Or if you don't know anybody, build a relationship that you care about, right? Start with prayer, praying for one another. Amen. God bless you. I love you. I hope you enjoy your week. Somebody, make it warmer outside for your pastor, and I'll be happy. God bless you. Take care.